Brutal.
What do you like?
I love picnics.
What do you like?
I like me first, then my sisters and brothers.
What do you like?
Hitting this tin can with a spoon. Ah.
What do you like?
Messing up a room.
What do you like?
I like pina coladas.
What do you like?
Dead burnt bodies.
What do you like?
Sadists, known perverts, and Mormons.
What do you like?
Noise! 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 Noise!
Good morning. It is 11:30 a.m. on a Wednesday. That means it's time for a noise here with your host, Luke Meat, back in the saddle after a three-week hiatus. You heard some pre-recorded shows there. Hope you enjoyed them. For that, I apologize. If anyone tried to call and you didn't hear me pick up, that's because I was not in the city. What can you do? I'll spare you the details. However, for the next hour and a half, all the noise that's fit to play. Coming up in the next hour and a half, we've got some really killer Swedish prog, some krautrock. We're going to do a tribute to some No Wave in honor of the book that's come out this week by Thurston Moore and Byron Coley. We'll be hearing some newer noise that I've picked up. Well, not that I've picked up, but has been given to me thanks to our contact in New York that just made a visit to Other Music, one of the best record stores in the land. And however, we're going to start you off on a fairly non-musical or noisical tangent. In case you haven't heard, if you don't own any media of any kind, comedian, philosopher, linguist, and all-around realist, one of my true heroes, George Carlin, passed away on Monday at the age of 71. And he had a very, very deep impact on myself, my sense of humor, and my completely foul mouth. We're going to hear something that's kind of close to my heart. I think, even though I'm not baptized, I got a little bit of Irish guilt in me. And this is actually pretty clean, too. So you don't need to leave the kiddies out of the room. But if you like to laugh, tune in right now. This is George Carlin off of Class Clown with I Used to Be Irish Catholic.
I used to be Irish Catholic. Now I'm an American. You know, you grow. Yeah. I was from one of those Irish neighborhoods in New York, one of those kind of parish schools. Wasn't typical. It was Corpus Christi was the name of it. Could have been any Catholic church, right? Our Lady of Great Agony. St. Rita Moreno. Our Lady of Perpetual Motion. What's the difference? What's it called? You know. The church part and the neighborhood part were typical, but the school was not. It wasn't one of those old-fashioned parish kind of prison schools with a lot of corporal punishment and systematic discipline with the steel ruler, right? Oh, my hand! Oh. And you'd fall 2 years behind in penmanship, right?
Well, he's behind in penmanship, Mrs. Carlin. I don't know why.
He's crippled. He's trying to learn to write with his left hand. You know? We didn't have that. I got lucky, you know, got into a school where the pastor was kind of into John Dewey and progressive education, and he talked the diocese, into experimenting in our parish with progressive education and whipping the religion on us anyway and see what would happen with the two of them there. And worked out kind of nice. There was a lot of classroom freedom. There was no, for instance, there were no grades or marks, you know, no report cards to sweat out or any of that. There were no uniforms. There was no sexual segregation, boys and girls together. And the desks weren't all nailed down in a row, you know. They were movable desks and you had new friends every month. It was nice. Like I say, a lot of classroom freedom. In fact, there was so much freedom that by eighth grade, many of us had lost the faith. Because they made questioners out of us, and they really didn't have any answers, you know. They'd fall back on, well, it's a mystery.
Oh, thank you, Father. Mystery? I don't know. What's he talking about? A mystery.
Part of Class Clown was being an imitator, as you probably noticed, but I used to imitate the priests, which was right on the verge of blasphemy, you know. I could do them all rather well. I did Father Byrne the best. Father Byrne was the one who used to celebrate the children's mass. I always thought that was great, to celebrate mass. Yeah, 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 man. Father Byrne did the children's mass, did the sermon every week. He used to do parables about Dusty and Buddy. Dusty was a Catholic, and Buddy was not. And Buddy was always trying to talk Dusty into having a hot dog on Friday. And I could do Father Byrne so well that I often wanted to do him in confession, you know? I wanted to get into Father Byrne's confessional one Saturday, maybe a half hour before he showed up, and get in there and hear a few confessions, you know? Because I knew, according to my faith and religion, that if anyone came in there and really thought I was Father Byrne, and really wanted to be forgiven, and performed the penance I had assigned, they would have been forgiven, man. Because that's what they taught us. It's what's in your mind that counts. Your intentions, that's how we'll judge you, what you want to do. Mortal sin had to be a grievous offense, sufficient reflection, and full consent of the will. You had to wanna. In fact, wanna was a sin all by itself. Thou shalt not wanna. If you woke up in the morning, you said, I'm going down to 42nd Street and commit a mortal sin. Save your car fare. You did it, man. Absolutely. It was a sin for you to want to feel up Ellen. It was a sin for you to plan to feel up Ellen. It was a sin for you to figure out a place to feel up Ellen. It was a sin to take Ellen to the place to feel her up. It was a sin to try to feel her up. And it was a sin to feel her up. There was six sins in one field, man. But confession had another aspect to confession for me. Our neighborhood was right between Columbia University and Harlem, Juilliard School of Music, Grant's Tomb, two seminaries, Jewish Theological and Union Theological Seminary. I said Harlem was there, and then to the north, a Puerto Rican and Cuban section. And as Puerto Ricans began to move into our neighborhood, the diocese, in this rare display of tokenism in the early 50s, sent one Spanish priest, Father Rivera, to hear Spanish confessions. And all the Irish guys that were heavily into puberty would go to confession to Father Rivera. Because he didn't seem to understand the sins, you know? Or at least he didn't take them personally, you know? It wasn't an affront to him. It was no big theological harangue. He didn't chew you out. He was known as a light penance. In and out, three Hail Marys, you're back on the street with Father Rivera, man. Boom, right? You could see the line move. That's how fast he was working, right? But he wasn't ready for the way Irish boys were confessing at that time in that place.
Huh? Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I would touch myself in an impure manner. I was impure, impurity and impureness. Thought, word, and deed, body, touch, impure, sex, dirty. Impure legs, impureness, touch, impure, dirty body, sex, rub, and covet. Heavy on the covet, Father.
That's okay, man. Tres Ave Marias. You'd be home in 5 minutes, you know? The Irish priest, on the other hand, nice guy, but first of all, he recognized your voice because you'd grown up there, right? He knew everyone. What'd you do that for, George? Oh, God, he knows, man. And the Irish priests were always heavily into penance and punishment, you know? They'd give you a couple of novenas to do, a 9 First Fridays, 5 First Saturdays, Stations of the Cross, a trip to Lourdes. Wow. That was one of the things that bothered me a little about my religion, was that conflict between pain and pleasure, you know? Because they were always pushing for pain, and you were always pulling for pleasure, man. Yeah. Yeah. There were other things that bothered me. Perhaps it's retrospect, you know. I'm seeing them better now. But I think I was troubled, too, at the time by the fact that my church would keep changing rules. I mean, they'd change a rule anytime they wanted. This law is eternal, except for this weekend.
Special dispensation.
Magic words. Yeah, like eating meat on Friday was definitely a sin. Except for the people in Philadelphia. They were number one in the scrap iron drive. Yeah. They would give it away as a prize, you know. If your parish gave the most money to the Bishop's Relief Fund, hamburgers on Friday. Yeah. Well, and of course, I've been gone a long time now. It's not even a sin anymore to eat meat on Friday. But I'll bet you there are still some guys in hell doing time on a meat wrap, right? Gotta be there. I had a bologna sandwich. This guy had a beef jerky, right? Huh. Tell him what you had. How'd you like to do eternity for a beef jerky? Yeah, because hell wasn't no 5 to 10, you know. Hell was later. Heaven, hell, purgatory, and limbo. Those were the four big places to go. Yeah. Heaven was the only one they showed you pictures of. Drawings, I assume they were drawings, right? Artist's conception of heaven. You'd find that in, sometimes you'd find that in Treasure Chest, the comic book with Chuck White, the Catholic comic book. Yeah, Chuck White fan. Yeah, occasionally you'd see a picture of heaven. Heaven was always a lot of yellow and white light, a lot of vertical lines. A lot of clouds, might have been clouds, might have been apartment buildings, you weren't really sure, you know. And a lot of tall angels, did you ever notice that? Except for the cherubs, all the angels, real tall dudes, yeah. And all blonde, they had far too many blondes in heaven as far as I was concerned. Yeah. Hell, they never showed you any pictures of hell. Hell was real easy to understand. Hell was fire, and anyone can dig fire, right?
Yeah, hey, hell is like burning 100 Christmas trees and jumping right in the middle, you know?
Purgatory was weird. Purgatory was temporary hell. It was like it was as bad as hell, but you knew you were going home, man. Often wondered if they had, like, short time clubs in purgatory, you know? Little buttons. I'm short, 2 eons, man. Yeah. I could do an eon standing on my head, man. Purgatory. The weirdest of all was limbo. Limbo was where they sent unbaptized babies. The reasoning was it wasn't their fault. Yep, can't see God if you're not baptized, but you were too young to make the decision. Whip them into limbo. What could limbo have been, man? Welcome to limbo. I think they've since canceled limbo. I'm not completely sure, but I think when they purged a few of the saints, they called off limbo, too. Yeah. Hope they promoted everyone, sent them to heaven, you know, didn't just cut them loose in space, right? You know. Once a week, Father Russell would come in for heavy mystery time. And you'd save all your weird questions for Father Russell. In fact, you'd make up strange questions. You'd take a whole week thinking up trick questions to Father Russell.
Hey, Father! Hey, if God is all-powerful, can he make a rock so big that he himself can't lift it? We got him now!
Or else you'd take a very simple sin and surround it with the most bizarre circumstances you could imagine to try to, you know, relieve the guilt in the sin. It would usually end up with the statement,
would that then be a sin then, Father?
It's like here, this is an example. There was one sin, not receiving communion during Easter time. You had to perform your Easter duty. You had to receive once between Ash Wednesday and Pentecost Sunday. And if you didn't do it, it was a mortal sin. Providing, of course, you had said to yourself, hey, I'm not gonna do it this year. And there weren't many mortal sins on that, but a lot of guys went to Venial City on Easter duty. And so you would ask the priest, you know, you'd put,
hey, Father, hey,
remember guys would leave their hand up after they got called on, right? And the priest would say, what are you, the Statue of Liberty done?
Oh, sorry, Father. Anyways, Father, hey, suppose that you didn't make your Easter duty, and it's Pentecost Sunday, the last day, and you're on a ship at sea, and the chaplain goes into a coma. But you wanted to receive.
And then it's Monday, too late. But then you cross the international date line.
Yes, I'm sure God will take that into account. Sit down, Woozy.
George Carlin, deceased at age of 71. That was a little excerpt off of his Grammy-winning Class Clown comedy album with I Used to Be Irish Catholic, The Confessional, Special Dispensation, Heaven, Hell, Purgatory, and Limbo, and Heavy Mysteries. You will be missed, my brother. You're listening to A Noise here on CITR 101.9 FM, quarter to 12. That means the Euro semifinal is starting right now as we speak, featuring a fairly David and Goliath situation, Turkey versus Germany. Turkey facing a heck of a lot of injuries and yellow cards. I believe their goalie that's playing is their third string goalie. And so best of luck to them. I'm always a fan of the underdog. And so I'm going to play some Turkish music right now. This is Barış Manço off of Prague Is Not a Four-Letter Word, a wonderful compilation done by Andy Votel. Available in finer record stores everywhere. This is best of luck to any Turkish fans out there who are watching the World Cup. This track is called Lamdea Pufta. Turkey's Barış Manço with Lamdea Pufta. Good luck, Turkey. I'm not going to say you're going to need it, but you're not heavily favored to win. There you go. Moving on, keeping with the Prague kind of vein that we're going to go through next couple of tunes. Keeping it world-based, I guess. We've got something from the Pregnant Rainbows for Colorblind Dreamers, the Essence of Swedish Progressive Music 4-CD box set. And I'm slowly plowing through this. I picked this up a few months ago, and I'm slowly but surely listening to it and enjoying it, and I found something very, 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 very good. Now, my Swedish is not the best, so please forgive me, and if I mispronounce something, give me a shout here at 822-2487. But we're going to hear something from Kvartetten som Sprängde, and the song is called Ganglat från Valhalla Vagen. And this features jazz drummer Rune Carlson, who played on Bo Hansson's first three solo albums, Bo Hansson being one of the most prominent figures in Swedish progressive rock. And when he formed this band, Kvartetten som Sprängde, resulted in some similar sounding stuff. The track that I'm going to play here, it turned a variation on the first opening notes of Jimi Hendrix's intro to Voodoo Child into sounding something like an old Swedish folk melody. And the swirling organ sounds were played by Fred Hellman, who also handled the bass parts with the foot pedals. So although this band calls themselves a quartet, they're actually a trio. So, and afterwards we'll hear something from Necronomicon, great classic German krautrock, and we'll talk to you about that after we hear Kvartetten som Sprängde with Ganglat från Valhalla Vagen.
Das Unheil nicht, das uns allen droht.
Germany's Necronomicon, they're a concept album by a group of guys who've been together for just over a year. They'd only had a few gigs under their belt, and thanks to a little bit of dosh from a friend, they managed to get into a tiny studio only with the basic recording equipment. We're talking a two-track reel-to-reel, and they turned out releasing one of the most rarest and highly valuable prog rock albums of all time, Tips Zum Selbstmord, you heard there. Probably one of the most rarest albums in my collection, if not any record collection. Check it out. That was Prologue, you heard there. And before that, some of the gorgeousness of the 4-CD Swedish progressive music box set. That was Kvartetten som Sprängde with Gänglet från Valhalla Vagen. I hope I don't sound like the Swedish chef there. You're listening to Noise here on CITR 101.9 FM. Hope your day's going well. Hope you're managed to get outside and enjoy some of this gorgeous summery type of weather. Remember, the days are getting shorter now. That's kind of a bummer. What is not a bummer, though, is this brand new book that hit the shelves 2 weeks ago, No Wave, Post-Punk Underground, New York, 1976 to 1980, by the two men themselves, Thurston Moore and Byron Coley, two men, gentlemen that need no introduction. If you don't know, Thurston Moore, of course, started Sonic Youth and All Things Cool. Byron Coley started Forced Exposure magazine. And basically, you're talking about the two hippest cats in the world and utmost authorities on the No Wave subjects. They have selected 150 unforgettable images, most of which have never been published, and compiled hundreds of hours of personal interviews into an oral history for this exploration and celebration of No Wave. They also provide a detailed index of the people, bands, and places that were central players in the No Wave scene. So we're going to listen to a little bit of the No Wave scene, and this is kind of a tribute to a certain friend of mine who managed to make it to New York last week and actually see the reunion of Teenage Jesus and the Jerks at the Knitting Factory. And she also managed in the same night to see Oneida perform the entire Wedding album with a string quartet at The Kitchen. So this will kind of be a tribute to the No Wave sound and also the sound of The Kitchen. Of course, The Kitchen being the hipster art loft in the early 80s in The Village in New York. So coming up in this set, we're going to hear a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to hear some probably some Contortions, Teenage G's and the Jerks, some Sonic Youth, some Rhys Chatham that hasn't been released yet. So keep an ear out for that. And we'll be here to talk to you at probably about half past. We're going to start off the No Wave set here, though, with a nice little compilation CD that my man Oswaldo Perez gave me yesterday, Atavistic Records. Let's see, Out of Their Own Mouths, double CD compilation of great, great, great noise. And this band is one of the more exceptional No Wave bands. Of course, I'm talking about Mars. This is from 78 Plus. The song is called 3E.
Yeah. Johnny Rocket, USA. Shoot on down, I'm over here.
Called World Looks Red. We'll be right back.
you experiment with cut-ups over a period of time, you find that some of the cut-ups seem to refer to future events. Well, we went on to exploit the potentials of the tape recorder.
Now, back to modern times.
Tape recorders.
Cut up, slow down, speed up, run backwards, inch the tape. That means work it back and forth across the tape head.
Hey, girl. Move a little closer.
Play several tracks at once. Cut back and forth between two recorders.
Copyright infringement. Piracy.
Oh, no, I pressed the wrong button again.
So cut-ups put you in touch with what you know and do not know that you know.
Exquisite Corpse, Thursday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on the mighty CITR Radio 101.9, Vancouver.
This is not all rock and roll, dude.
Right, you are, Bleak. Exquisite Corpse every Thursday, 7:30 to 9 p.m., my fellow partner in crime. And if you like what you're hearing here, you'll love what Bleak does. Yes, indeedy. Let's go through that last set you heard there, last 20 minutes, kind of a tribute to the no-wave scene and the kitchen scene of New York in the late 70s, early 80s, kind of in tribute to my girlfriend Mo, who got to see Teenage Jesus and the Jerks reunite at the Knitting Factory. And I'm so very, very, very happy she got to go without me. And so, yeah, we started off there with Mars, a crucial no-wave band off of the Various Artists compilation, Out of Their Mouths with 3E. We heard some Teenage Jesus and the Jerks off of the now classic No New York compilation with Burning Rubber. We had some Suicide in there. What would be a No Wave set be without Suicide? Classic New York Moog Art Damage off of their debut album, Rocket USA. We had some Sonic Youth off of this new CD, From the Kitchen Archives number 3. And I'm not familiar with this series, so I assume this is the third one in the volume. Amplified New Music Meets Rock, 1981 to 1986. That was Sonic Youth there with a very rare track called World Looks Red, featuring Michael Gira from the Swans on guitar. How cool is that? And then we had some unreleased Reese Chatham, very well-known Village, New York guitarist, most kind of associated with people like Glenn Branca, and fooled around with alternate tunings and stuff like that, and multiple guitars. One of his most noted pieces, An Angel Moves Too Fast to See, features 100 electric guitarists playing at once. Check that out. That is off of a new compilation called Impala Eardrums, a Radium sampler. Radium, fantastic label. Out of Atlanta, Georgia, a unit of Table of the Elements, another fantastic label. Check them out. That track was simply Untitled, 1986, for 4 electric guitars, electric bass, and drums. And then we finish you off there with Oneida, who, like I said before, played at the Kitchen last week. They performed their amazing album, The Wedding, with a string quartet at the legendary Kitchen in New York. And that was a track that Mo missed, actually. So that's how it sounded, Mo. Lavender, the name of the track there. We've got a pretty tasty, noisy album coming up here. Otomo Yoshide and Martin Tetrio. In the spring of 2003, Canadian turntablist Martin Tetrio and Japanese turntablist Otomo Yoshide toured part of Europe in a 16-day marathon. And the idea of releasing a live album was explored, but there was too much material to fit on a single disc, so it was decided to put together a trilogy where each disc would focus on one aspect of the duo's work on stage. The noisiest material being on a CD entitled Gurr, the most fragmented on a CD called Talk, and then the smoothest material on a CD called Ah. Well, of course, this is a noise here. We're going to focus on the most unpleasant one, which is Gurr, and it is described as noisy, distorted, loud, larcenated, highly intense, and no silence. This is Martin Tetrio and Otomo Yoshide with Nijmegen number 4B.
show?
You're starting tonight.
Well, do it live! If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's newest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
But a lot of these groups are nothing but pure carnality and fleshly and so forth. But
check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?
Yes, indeed. The Biltmore, great, great venue located in the heart of East Van. And man, if you want to get your Twin Peaks kind of on, it's got a great atmosphere. And check it out if you haven't been there already. What did you just hear in that last set? Well, holy cow, some face-melting stuff. You heard some Martin Tetrio with Otomo Yoshide off of one out of their three-part CDs. The CD was entitled Gurr, and that was Nijmegen number 4B. And then right after that, you had some local action, something brand new by Sick Buildings off of this fantastic vinyl compilation album entitled Emergency Room Volume 1. And the Emergency Room, in case you don't know, very, very cool underground place in town. And they have their own kind of studio, and they have invited bands that have frequented the Emergency Room to lay down some tracks. And it's a great kind of document about what's going on in this great city of ours. The track there was called The Commuter. Check it out. Emergency Room Volume 1, vinyl only. So God love you for doing that. Stay tuned. Coming up at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, we've got the Afternoon Yak. We've got 1 o'clock, the Green Majority, Canada's only environmental issue show. 2 o'clock, Democracy Now! With Ms. Amy Goodman. 3 o'clock, as we get back into the rock, Rumbletone Radio A-Go-Go with Mr. Frank Rumbletone. 5 o'clock, Canadian Voices. 6:30 this week is Sam Squatch's Hideaway. All Canadian content all the time with Anita B. 8 o'clock, Folk Oasis with Val Cormier. 10 o'clock, Juice Box, Vancouver's most intelligent sexual health show with Julia. And 11 o'clock, Mr. Hans Klaus with Hans Klaus's Misery Hour. And we're going to wrap it up here. As always, we finish with a band off of the infamous Nurse with Wound list. And today we have This Heat's second record entitled Deceit. And this was a fantastic record. Very, very underrated when it came out. It's considered many as a classic of the post-punk era. In fact, the Trouser Press record guy called the album austere, brilliant, and indescribable. Fairly good idea. Much of this album was recorded at Cold Storage, which was a refrigerated storeroom at a former meat pie factory in Brixton, England. And the music includes a lot of new improvisations, but a lot of stuff that they had worked on during live performances. And fantastic, fantastic stuff. And it was really, really hard to find until now. It's finally been re-released thanks to This Is Records, which is a Recommended Records imprint. And if you know Recommended, you know how obscure and obtuse they can be. And they've put out a remastered version of Deceit as part of the 6-CD Out of Cold Storage box set. And so, yeah, if you need any, how much more of This Heat can you need? And also, there's some really, really cool stuff going around on YouTube involving this band. So just type in This Heat and check it out. You'll see a lot of live performances and stuff, you know. So we're going to hear a couple of tracks off of This Heat, and we'll be back to talk to you at the top of the hour.
Paper hats or maybe even
And the fine post-punk stylings of this heat off of their second album, Deceit, made lovingly accessible by This Is Records, and you heard Paper Hats there. Well, that just about does it for yet another edition of A Noise. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for The Green Majority. This is Luke Meat signing off saying, if it doesn't annoy, it's not a noise. Bye for now.
Stephen Merritt from the Magnetic Fields, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hi there, I'm Paula Gunn Allen, American Indian poet, novelist, writer, poet. One of my favorite environmentally friendly habits is saving stuff from building projects or packaging and using it in art projects, or just putting it up on the wall because it's